Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves.
We're visiting with Jody Klock. She is the author of a book called Keep Your Money, Practical Advice on Asset Protection Through the Golden Years. Jody, what prompted you to write this book? Because you certainly don't look like you're anywhere near approaching your golden years.
Well, you're so very kind. Thank you. Well, I wrote this book basically for people like you and me. And what happens is we're baby boomers and we're caregivers most of the time now for our parents and our grandparents. And obviously people don't know what they don't know. So trying to help them out on the emotional side, but more importantly on the financial side, on helping them know how to reposition their assets so they don't go broke when they have to go into a nursing home.
And from what I understand, you've seen this a lot, you've experienced it a lot because your family is involved in the funeral business, correct?
Correct. My husband's family has owned a funeral home for over 115 years. And what's very sad is people come to us last. And by the time they get to us, not only are they having a bad day, they've blown through their people's assets or their family's assets. So if they can learn to come to the funeral home first, they can get some good practical advice and also be referred to the proper professionals who can help them.
Jody, at approximately what time in our lives should we be thinking about our parents' lives and how to do this asset protection?
That's a great question. And in all candor, about in your early 50s. Or sometimes you can watch your parents slip a little bit. And so you don't really want to tie an age as much as you want to watch their behavior, because a crisis can happen at any time, but you want to make sure to be a little proactive. Something as simple as knowing where their important documents are, where their insurance papers are. If you kind of need to do your due diligence ahead of time.
What are some of the biggest mistakes people make when they're caring for a loved one during the last stages of that loved one's life?
The biggest mistake is they don't have a roadmap and they don't have a plan. So not only are they having an emotional crisis, they're very overwhelmed and they get paralyzed. So number one, some people don't have insurance. Number two, they don't know what final disposition their parent or loved one might want, whether that's a burial or a cremation. Whether that's open to the public or not. And those things are all very personal and private. And so if those things are not discussed ahead of time, that's a heavy load to carry, and people always find themselves wondering if they did the right thing. And last but not least, people really need to know how to reposition their assets in something as simple as a living trust and having different types of vehicles owning their assets, because if they find themselves in a Medicaid situation, the rules are very hard and fast, and it's pretty black and white. It can be done on a crisis moment, but if you actually just take your time and just like you would do your retirement planning, if you positioned yourself for that what if, it makes everything very simple, basically with one sheet of paper.
How do Medicaid and Medicare come into play here?
Well, first of all, people most of the time don't understand the difference between Medicare and Medicaid. Medicare simply is, you can think of it in terms of health care. And health care like your Blue Cross, Blue Shield, those types of things. Medicaid comes into more of a place when you're over 65 years old where if you can prove to be of financial need, they will take over the financial portion of your long-term care stay. Both are entitlement programs, so you have paid into both of them your whole life if you had worked through Social Security. The problem is with Medicare, people assume that just because they have that, that will take care of their nursing home, where that usually only takes care of the first 30 days. And then after that, it triggers into private pay.
Jody, what's the first step a caregiver should do as they begin to plan for a loved one's last stage of life? I mean, besides buying the book.
Well, what's the first thing they should do is they should get a plan and get it in writing. They need to have that hard conversation ahead of time. So they actually will have created a roadmap for themselves to follow. And if they do that, the rest will fall into play.
We always like to say there are three sure things in our lives. One, we're born. Two, we pay taxes. Three, we die. Let's talk about the last one. Pre-planning a funeral. How do you go about doing that?
Pre-planning a funeral is very simple. However, the key is, with pre-planning, you actually have to physically speak with a funeral professional. Because if you write down all of your biographical information, you know, your name, rank, and serial number, and all of the things that would be on a hard day for a loved one to pull out of their ears, like your mother's maiden name, those types of things. If the person who will be making arrangements isn't sitting in the room and they don't know that, they're going to have to go on a scavenger hunt. So essentially, you need to go to the funeral home and have that taken care of and have it documented and kept on file. Because if you just have it in a drawer somewhere or in the family Bible, nobody's going to know about that.
Does the book have a step-by-step plan for something like that?
Oh, actually, the book not only has a step-by-step plan, and at the end of each chapter, there are action plans and there are recommendations that you can do to set yourself up all the way through. So by the time you finish each chapter, and if you actually did the workbook, for lack of a better term, or the action items, you'll have a pre-planned funeral. You will have things where you need to go, so you can take to your attorney, your financial planner. You'll know how to talk to the caseworker, the questions to ask, so you're not caught with your pants down on a bad day.
There's actually a financial benefit to pre-planning a funeral, isn't there?
There's a huge financial benefit. The first one is it is exempt as an asset from Medicaid. And when someone is going on Medicaid, they have to have very limited resources to prove financially needy. Therefore, whether it's $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever that funeral of choice is, it's set aside and it's exempt and it doesn't count. And then the second part of it is more on the economical thing with inflation. So that funeral is guaranteed. Essentially what that means is today is 2010. If somebody lives an average of 8 to 10 years after they prearranged their funeral, as inflation goes up, their funeral does not go up. So in the long run, if the funeral home's costs have exceeded the cost of inflation, well, that's the funeral home's problem and not the family's problem. Conversely, if the family changes their mind and chooses a different form of disposition for whatever reasons, they get their money and any growth back.
Jody, it's tough enough losing a parent. I would imagine it's almost as tough talking to that parent about what's to come. How do you approach your mom or your dad to talk about this situation?
Approaching your parent is a very fine line, because at some point in time, your role changes from adult child to caregiver. And, you know, the parents like to be in control. So what you want to do is do it proactively. You want to kind of pose it in a position and share with your mom or your dad and just kind of say, you know, I was thinking about myself, and if these things were to happen in my life, these are the types of decisions I would like to happen. You know, could you please share a little bit with me of when death occurs, what does it look and feel like to you? What would you like for us to do so we can follow your wishes? Conversely, on the front side of it, something as simple as a do not resuscitate order. All of those things on the medical side need to be talked to your parents, because there's this little spin cycle that happens. You're healthy, something happens. Let's just say you've fallen. You've gone into the hospital, and then you've exceeded your stay at the hospital. You go into the nursing home, and then you come out of the nursing home, and then at that point in time, it becomes a vindictive cycle, because once people come in, let's just say they have a broken hip, they're very fragile, and when they come out, that cycle repeats itself. So eventually their health wears down, and you need to know what they want and what they don't want.
You know, I would guess there's a bit of a residual benefit to all this, being the caregiver for your parents. When your time comes, you have a pretty good handle of what needs to be done so you can help your children as well, yes?
That is correct.
Jody Klock, she is the author of Keep Your Money, Practical Advice on Asset Protection Through the Golden Years.